So we also greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Certainly it's good to be in the house of God again. It feels like some time since we have been here. Had been gone some. Appreciated the devotional on foundations. And considering the fact that this is Mother's Day, or recognizes Mother's Day, made me think of foundations also. Isn't it true that mothers, you know, they're the first ones who touched us, and we were kind of like entombed, you know? And would mothers not really have a lot to do with the foundation that we have? Do know that Abraham Lincoln had made the remark one time that all that I am and all that I have, I owe to my angel mother. And I'm not, you know, sure exactly about that as relates to God. I mean, we are all under his control, his jurisdiction. He is the one that actually, you know, causes conception. He's the one that made our bodies and so on. But we certainly want to recognize our mothers today. As far as the title for the message, I just thought of titling it a Mother's Day message. When we think of mothers, I'd like to look, first of all, at the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke, in chapter 1, if you care to turn there, there are different things that we can notice about the mother of Jesus that really would encourage us to look at these character traits and exemplify them. Look at them. And I don't mean to come across as preachy to our mothers, and I also have things to say to the other side of the house. But here in Luke chapter 1, in verse 26, he says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, why the angel said that is because Mary was already, even in her lowly estate, and later it comes out that, you know, she was recognizing God and saying that, you know, you looked at me, or you beheld my lowly estate, and you chose me from that point. So it's not that we have to have any kind of prestige or any kind of fame, but in knowing God, he would look more at the lowliest of women, the humbleness, and he looks at the foundation that that woman has, the things that are important to that woman, and those are the ones that he uses to do his great work. And a great work this was, in bringing our Lord and Savior, who saved us from sin, who saved the world from sin, to bring Jesus into the world. It was a very important work here. "Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Mary was a woman who had favor with God. Now, do you think it mattered? And I'll talk to the young ones here also. But do you think it mattered to God, you know, that she would comb her hair in a pretty way, or some kind of pretty dresses she wore? No, it was all looking on the inside, looking at the character traits of the heart. And that is what I believe God based his decision on, that she found favor with God. It was not some outward thing. It was not trying to do some great work. It was simply filling her place where God had called her in faithful submission to God's work and to God's calling and to God's purpose. And so as you mothers are here and daughters, and you think of your calling in life, what are you thinking as relates to blessing God in the call that he has, where he has called you? Being under your husband or being under your parents. What can you do that would exemplify or would build the foundation for a good character for a Christian life and of being in service to God and to his church and to humanity as a whole, to whoever you meet? Have you found favor with God? And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And Mary was just, had enough common sense to just ask a common sense question. You know, how can this be? She knew the ways. She knew how God had created us. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6 months with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This is one character trait that I would really like to bring out. In whatever the circumstances were, Mary was going to say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Like, Lord, look at me. Just let it be exactly as you have said. I submit to it in whatever way it comes. And later, it turned out to be, in a sense, an embarrassment, a public humiliation or a public shame or something the public really would look down on. But in Mary's heart, I believe there was joy. She was not looking. She knew that this was God's work. This is the way God brought it on her. And how are on this side of the house, how is it when things come to you in life that you really cannot change? I mean, you can maybe chafe and not want to accept your calling in life, but there's nothing you can change about it. So would you not be better off to just have accept the way things are and just have joy in the way that God is working things out? Even if at times you might be struggling with a certain thing and it seems like nobody notices. Maybe it sometimes seems like your husband doesn't even care. I don't know what your situation is. But the important thing is for you to know that God cares immensely. He cares more than what you ever can care. And he sees you. You're not hidden from his view. Everything is wide open. Everything is completely lightened up to God. So isn't it so much better, just like Mary here said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Yes, I recognize you see everything. You see the depths of my heart. And however you want it to be, I accept it. That's what I want. And then going over to 46. This was when Mary had gone and visited Elizabeth, and Mary said this, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. And as we read this, all you ladies in here, you sisters, these are things that if you are spiritually connected to God, you can identify with them. And you can use these scripture verses in a very real way in your life and in some of the struggles that you have. If you can just accept your calling in life. And for us husbands, there is so much that we can add to our wives and to our daughters. There's so much that we can give that will help them actually bloom and blossom in this very thing, in their calling. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to his fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. And I just so much like this, how Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and the two were together, both with their babies in development, and they spent that time together. I think that was so hugely valuable that Mary saw that need, that she wanted to go and just be with the forerunner of Jesus Christ, so to speak. And then going to the second chapter of Luke in verse 33. And these are things that I really would encourage our sisters to look at, and even the young sisters that are here, the children. Study these things. It says here in verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They marveled at these things. If something is happening to you in life, is it good or is it bad? There are things you need to ponder in your heart. What is God trying to say? What is God trying to do? And even at times, young sisters, when daddy seems to you to be unreasonable, or his mom is requiring something and it seems to you unreasonable, ponder in your heart, what do you think God is trying to bring into your life through them? What is God trying to tell you? It says in the Bible several places that Mary pondered things in her heart. And that is one character trait of Mary that I cannot forget. It is stamped in my mind that she pondered in her heart. And we do well as brethren to also ponder things in our heart. Think of these things and try to think them out. Let's not just lightly pass the heavy things that come to us in life, but let's look at them deeply and see, you know, what is God trying to say? It's very important. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And just a bit about this sword that is going to pierce in Mary's heart. I do believe that that happened at the crucifixion when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and when he went all through all that terrible stuff, you know, he was still. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And when this whole thing happened, it had to be like a sword that just pierced Mary's heart and hurt her deeply. Because there was still that tie between her and Jesus. And isn't it that way for a mother with her child, with her son, with her daughter? And just lately, can you imagine how that mother felt? Wasn't it just like a sword piercing her heart when she heard that her daughter had passed on? It had to be. And that is the connection that God put there between a mom and her daughter or her son. Also for a dad, if that connection is there the way God has designed it to be, when something like that happens, it is extremely painful. But we do know that only in acceptance of things that sometimes you hear the advice, no need to cry over spilled milk. No need to cry over spilled milk. In other words, it's over. So you might as well just go on. But I say, there are times when there is a need to cry over so-called spilled milk because it is something that is painful. Just allow yourself to cry, but then work through it. Don't stay there, but, you know, allow yourself to hurt. Allow yourself to feel your loss. But then you move on and you ask God for strength from day to day that you can be faithful in the calling where he has called you. And going down to verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. You know, I don't know if it has ever happened to any of you parents or not. I can't really, you know, say, but I can identify with this feeling that when you think you know where your children are and you find out later it was different. You know, you really did not know. Or like we had not been really on top of things the way we knew, but or the way we had thought. But see, the concern that parents have for their children comes into play here. You know, I thought I knew where he was. Maybe this mom didn't know that her daughter went on a four-wheeler ride. Maybe she knew, I don't know. But at some point, her mom did not know exactly where she was and did not know exactly what happened until she received the blow of the news. But mothers are very concerned about their children and where they are. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Can you imagine the concern or the worry? You know, where is he? What has become of him? He's lost. They did not understand. And it came to pass that after 3 days, 3 days of searching, that must have really been something. And I think it has something to do with the fact that Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. 3 days does mean something, but here they searched for 3 days. He was lost, and then they found him. Well, for Jesus, you know, when he died, he was in the tomb 3 days. It was like not knowing, a period of time when Jesus was lost, so to speak. But then he appeared the third day, and in this, you know, those things really speak to us if we really think about them. 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It really speaks to me that Jesus, in spite of being in his father's work, you know, being in that position, and it being revealed to him, the work that he had as relates to God, but he went down and he was subject to his mom and dad. And how many of our children today have sometimes a real problem being subject to mom and dad? And this was Jesus. He had a part in creating everything. And he is the one who saved us from all our sins, and he was subject to mom and dad. Isn't that an important principle that our children need to be taught? Respect. The Bible says to honor father and mother. And I know there are mothers who have faults. Sure, and dads do too. But when the Bible says honor thy father and mother, it does not mention the qualifications for a mother or the qualifications for a dad to be honored. It does not, that is not what it's about. And how, you know, it says honor father and mother. How long do you need that to do that? As long as he or she lives? I don't think so. I think it's as long as you live. As long as you live. Because of the things that they have taught you. And just, and I know there are people here today who their mom is no longer living. There are people here today whose dads are no longer living. They have passed on. And do you think to honor them has now stopped? I don't think so. I think it is, it's a principle. See, it's more than just honoring them while they're here alive, but honor them for the rest of your life. Their beliefs, the things that they taught you. And I believe that you can even thank them for the things they have taught you, even if they are passed on and gone, so to speak. You can still do that. There are more things that could be said about Jesus' mother. We know of many other mothers in the Bible that we could talk about that have had character traits. Let's think a little bit about our mothers. Can you think of the good things that she has done for you? Things that you remember from way back, even when you were young. Times that she disciplined you. I remember once when I was quite unhandy, just a little boy. And my mom said that it would just be good for you to relax. I was like, relax? I didn't know what relax meant. I had no idea what relax, what it is to relax. And so she said, come with me and I'll show you. Well, she took me to the bedroom and she told me to lay on the bed. And I did. And then she said, lay on your back. And put your legs, spread eagle. You know, she didn't say it that way, but, you know, put your arms all the way back and your legs apart and just, like, take up the whole bed, you know. Of course, I was just little, couldn't near do that. But, I mean, spread out on the bed on your back. And then she said, close your eyes. And I was like, Mom, you're kidding. Is this what relax means? She said, yes, it does. And what you do is you lay like that and you hold real still for 10 minutes and keep your eyes closed. That's how you relax. And I was like, 10 minutes? She said, that's not really long. But you just stay there for 10 minutes. And she promised me that in 10 minutes she will come back. 10 minutes. So I lay there, you know, I felt like the time would never come. But, you know, it was an hour later when I woke up. And it was just a very good lesson. She knew me better than what anybody else did. But she knew I just needed a good nap. And that's what I got. But things like that, I will not forget. You know, that my mother taught me. Taught us to pray before we go to bed. She read us bedtime stories. And I'm sure you can think of many good things that your mothers taught you too. Sometimes we sing songs like, you know, old-fashioned mama, old-fashioned mother. But, you know, you don't need a high-tech mom today for her to be successful. She doesn't need to be high-tech. Just let her be old-fashioned. Just accept her the way she is. My wife is not very good with a phone. She can't really text. But it makes me love her all the more. Some of the things that she can't do, that even some of you other ladies do. That does not matter to me. I'll let my mom and my wife just be old-fashioned and just be simple the way they are. Because I know they love the Lord. And they exemplify the character traits that I believe the Bible teaches. You know, back in the old times, blackberries was something you ate. It's not something you put to your ears. Back then, we never thought of blackberries in any other way. And here some time ago, my BlackBerry went out. Sometimes when I ended a call, I couldn't call out again. for a period of time. It got very unhandy, and I was eligible for upgrade, so I just got a new BlackBerry. And then they also offered this thing called a Bluetooth. Well, a Bluetooth, I was used to having it that the tooth belongs in your mouth, but no, this thing is something you hang on your ear. And I thought, well, maybe that would be the way to go, or at least to try it out, because, you know, talk about having wrecks, you know, when somebody's trying to send out a message, or, you know, you have your, a lot of times when I'm going through traffic and there's a driver in front of me that is a little bit unhandy and everything, most of the time I go past him, he's got a cell phone on his ear. So I thought maybe this would be the way to go. So I got this thing. And when I went to try it out, you know, some of us older guys, we're not so quick to pick up on all this high-tech stuff. But anyway, I put this thing to my ear and thought I did, you know, what it said to do. And it asked, it said phone connected. And then it asked me, what do you want to do? And I said, voice command. And it said, I don't understand. What do you want to do? I said, voice command. And again, said, I don't understand. What do you want to do? So I went back and looked at the directions. Oh, I was supposed to say phone command. So I did that. I said, what do you want to do? Phone command. Then it said, your phone is connected. So I said, call Iva Yoder. And it came back and said, do you want to search the internet for Ivan Yoder? And I said, no. What do you want to do? I said, call Iva Yoder. And again, it said, do you want to search the internet for Ivan Yoder? And I said, no. What do you want to do? Nothing. Do you want to search the internet for nothing? And you know, that's just about sometimes the way those things take you to a place where, you know, it just won't work. But when I really thoroughly read the directions, and I'm not the type to really read directions, you know, before I do something, I try to make it work beforehand, you know, just see if I can do it. Others are better off, the ones who always read the directions carefully, you know, before they do something. But some of us older folks, you know, just don't quite have it to be this modern technology and stuff. And if your mom and dad are just not, you know, that technology oriented, you might want to appreciate that too. Because I don't think that is certainly not a character that you need to have to be a good mom and dad. And sometimes I think it's just worth quite a bit if we're not so up to technology and having the latest and all those things. I don't think that's really what parents are for. And I think parents sometimes do good to just keep themselves back a little bit, you know, from some of these things, because it can actually, you know, we hear a lot about what we heard in Sunday school class about where we spend our time. Is it on the computer or reading the Word of God? You know, what about family time? What about the time you spend with your children and the connection that you have with your children? Very important, and much more so as the time goes on, when more and more things become available. Sometimes it's amazing at the things that you can do now. You know, the other day I heard about, well, you can just get this little thing you can plug into your cell phone now, swipe a card through it. If you want to get a payment from somebody, swipe a card through it, and it'll take it right to your bank account, and just a very easy payment thing. So it's like, don't be surprised when a brother, you need to pay for something. Maybe you owe somebody $50, and he'll pull his cell phone out and put this little thing on her, and you swipe your card, and you've paid it. I mean, those are things that to me are almost mind-boggling. You know, we always wrote a check, or we'd give cash, you know. But times are changing, and there's other ways to do things, and the world is constantly looking at new things that they can come up with for us to spend our money and spend our time. You know, they want to do all those things for us. They're even getting to the point where they want to do our family time for us. They offer things on the computer for family time. You know, and you can get yourself sucked into this kind of thing where, you know, the children are losing out and we parents don't really realize it. But today, the moms that are old-fashioned Not just the ones that are here, but I mean everywhere. The old-fashioned moms, I bless them and I accept them just the way they are. Had to think of the poem where it talks about mothers having an incredible job with no pay. No position in business world compares to the physical, emotional, and spiritual commitment she has in motherhood. And there are so many mothers now who are going for a career in business. And the more that happens, the more families suffer, the more children suffer, the more morals in our country go backward, because it's so vital for a mother to be at home, or at least not let anything suffer family-wise, you know, if there are other things you need to do to work. Is it at house cleaning jobs or babysitting or doing different things to help with finances? I certainly have nothing against that. But let's be careful that those things don't take the place of a solid mother at home that is being sure that her family and children are taken care of. The poem here is no occupation. She rises up at break of day, and through her tasks she races. She cooks the meals as best she may and scrubs the children's faces. While school books, lunches, homework too, all need consideration, and yet the sensuous man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes all are done, she bakes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one with one eye watching baby. The mending pile she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the sensuous man insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while, then presses pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheeriest smile returning lass and laddie. A hearty dinner next she cooks, no time for relaxation, and yet the sensuous man insists she has no occupation. And then he says here, don't ever make the mistake of asking a lady, do you work or stay at home? The only thing worse you can ask is, it says here, and many ladies today have to work on top of the full-time job they already have. So they are busy enough. So how many times do us brothers just chip in and help with some of the work? When's the last time you've run the sweeper? When's the last time you've washed the dishes? And even if there's other help there to do, it even means a lot to the children when daddy washes dishes, does it not? I'm sure it does. Or if a brother, you know, would wash the dishes, and the sisters are going around, I can't believe my eyes. I just can't believe it. Well, make that happen sometime. You know, allow them to not believe their eyes. Just and you know, us parents have a part to do in teaching our children that this, you know, if you have a young boy growing up and he never has to wash the dishes, he might wash them a few times after they're married. But by and by, eventually, he'll just let the wife sit with that. Usually how it works. So I think us parents need to be aware that these things can be shared, these tasks that need to be done. It is good that they can be shared. Here is another quote. He says, Lord, help us never to be too busy for mom. If you could take time and great effort for her on the cross in your death, help us to love her while we have her in our life. And I imagine that those of you who do not have your moms anymore could sure think of things that you have could have done for her in making her life easier while she was still here. Give me the flowers while I live, trying to cheer me on. Useless the flowers that you give after the soul is gone. It's so true, and it doesn't have to be flowers. Sometimes it's just the deeds that mean the most to our mothers. Proverbs 31, I did not read that, but please do read it. It is something that that all honorable mothers should hear. Exemplify her price is far above rubies. And there's another one here that I'd like to share in relation to the moms who have passed on. And to you children who feel that, the fact that mom is no longer here, or it could be a dad. It says here, a faithful mother lives her faith. And I'd like to read just a little bit here in 1st and 2nd Timothy, it is, where the Apostle Paul was recognizing Timothy's grandmother and mother. He says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, some would call it Eunice, but my Bible says Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. God gave Timothy talents, and Paul is recognizing here that his grandmother and his mother had something to do with this. And he says, I remember the unfeigned faith, not a faith that is that she was letting on or just displaying, but unfeigned means purely. It means there's no deceit. It's just a pure, unadulterated faith. And that faith is something that built up Timothy for the work that God had called him to. And he was, if I take it right, he was a bishop to the church of Laodicea. But those grandmother, the grandmother and the mother, you know, having passed on in life, what do you think is that mother's desire? And lately we heard of this story of Toby and Marcia. Their little boys had gone to heaven and been with Jesus and the angels and also with their relatives. It's just amazing what these little boys, the stories that they are giving of what they had met up in heaven, and even things that happened in life here that the parents had no knowledge of, and these little boys said this, and they contacted these people, and they're saying, yes, that's exactly how it was. Just amazing things like this. So when you really think of heaven, you think your mom being there or your dad being there, what actually is going on there? I don't know that anybody knows, but it could be quite different than what we think. Are moms up there viewing their children today and seeing your walk of life? I don't know. But these little boys say that they met Pablo's son-in-law up there, and that son-in-law brought a message, told them to bring a message back to his family in Nicaragua. Well, Pablo got so excited about that. These little boys did not know who Jana is, Pablo's son-in-law, but they said they met a Jana up there, and he said to bring this back, you know, for the family. Well, Pablo got so excited about it, he's now writing a book. In fact, he went up and interviewed the boys and the parents or whatever, and now he's writing a book about this situation. But it gives us a glimpse of, you know, what these boys saw, you know, in heaven. So how is it with the moms and dads that have passed on? And especially the moms, they're the ones who bring children into the world in the way that the husband cannot. And the connection that a mom has, a godly mother has, wanting, wanting so bad to be sure that the children are all saved. The joy for a Christian mother is the salvation and service of her children. I think oft times as the night draws nigh of an old house on the hill, of a yard all wide and blossom starred where the children played at will. And when the night at last came down, hushing the merry din, mother would look around and ask, "Are all the children in?" 'Tis many and many a year since then, and the old house on the hill no longer echoes to childish feet, and the yard is still so still. But I see it all as the shadows creep, and though many of the years have been, since then I can hear my mother ask, "Are all the children in?" I wonder if when the shadows fall on the last short earthly day, when we say goodbye to the world outside, all tired with our childish play, when we step out into that other land where mother so long has been, will we hear her ask, just as of old, "Are all the children in?" And I'd like for us to do something, if you want. This is a suggestion. But I'd like for all of us to just think of our mothers. And us married folks, you know, we have two. But just remember a bit things about your mother. And I'd like for you to do this with closed eyes. If you can close your eyes and just think about some of the things that your mother did for you, the godly traits she emphasized, and then just say a short prayer in your mind. And when I say amen, I would like for you to say, right after I say amen, I'd like for you to say, "Thank you, mother. I love you." So let's begin. Amen. Thank you, mother. I love you. Let's kneel to pray.